You're listening to the audio message of the Sunday service of The Gathering QC, a local church that meets at 3928 12th Avenue in Moline, Illinois. You can also find us on the web at thegatheringqc.com.
These are really good news events. That doesn't mean that we haven't had tough news, but the things that I like to stick in my head are the good news. But we're going to talk today about the best news, the really, really good news. And it was the good news that, since I'm talking about myself, since I have the microphone, that at 16 years old, I discovered the really good news. It was the news that the God that created the whole world knows me by name. A God that desires me to flourish and to grow and to be loved. It was the best news that I had ever had in my life. That Jesus Christ came and he loved me. The world didn't know what to do with Jesus, and so they killed him. But what they didn't know was that this was God's plan, that Jesus was carrying all of the guilt and all the shame and all the sin and all of the shortcomings of the world, and he nailed it to the cross so that I could live freely, that I could learn to love, I could learn to forgive, I could learn to walk in life, that my life could be transformed. I'm a little weepy today. I'm sorry. But that was the best news I had ever heard in my life. And I've been living in that love now for decades and learning what it means to live in the love of Jesus Christ. So we're going to talk a little bit about really good news from a story in the book of John. Look at John chapter 3. This is a story, verses 1 through 8. And so let me just read it for you real quick, the story of Nicodemus. Maybe you've heard this story. Now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. And he came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the signs that you are doing if God were not with him." And Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How could someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter the second time into their mother's womb to be born." And Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and born of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at this saying, 'You must be born again,' because the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." This is a wonderful encounter here of a man coming to ask Jesus. He had heard that Jesus was doing signs and wonders and miracles, and so he has the ability to find Jesus and ask the question, what does it mean to see the miracles that you're doing? And let me just talk just real quickly about three or four different things that I would like for us to understand. First of all, the really good news that I'm talking about is that there's really good news for each of us personally. Personally. Jesus takes the time to have this very personal conversation with a man that comes to him in the middle of the night to speak to him. Jesus likely had, like many of us, had a very long day. He did not know Nicodemus that we know of. He didn't necessarily owe him a conversation. But however, Jesus stops, he takes the question to this man that makes his way over in the middle of the night. It's interesting that John chapter 3, this is right before, a few verses down, Jesus says this. You may know it, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's at the end of the story of Nicodemus. Isn't it interesting that God loves the whole world, but yet he gets down into the micro level so that he can even have a conversation with Nicodemus? I've met a lot of people that believe that God could carry the weight of the whole world, but they had difficulty wrapping their minds around a God that speaks to them and loves them and stops for them to love them and care for them. We like the world, he's got the whole world in his hands, and we think, man, he must be really tired. And we get our man, God's managing the whole world. How is it that he can actually care about my life? Because God does have love the world, is redeeming the world and impacting the world or bringing justice to the world. But this God that loves the whole world also sent Jesus to stop and have a conversation with this one man who's bewildered about Jesus and needs to discover what's missing in his life. And so when I'm speaking today about God's love, it's wonderful that God loves the whole world. Jesus says that. God loves and sent his son. But I want you to know that this is personal news. This is good news for you. This is good news for each of us. This God that loves and created the world loves you too. Whether you're a business owner, that maybe your business is struggling right now, I want you to know that God loves you. Or maybe you're a single mom and you're thinking, man, life is difficult. God loves you. Maybe you're a student that's stressed and you're like, how in the world am I going to get through this next semester? I want you to know Jesus is speaking to you. Maybe you've got a medical diagnosis this week that you're struggling with. I want you to know that God loves you and is speaking to you. Every one of us, God is a great big God. Yes, he's got the whole world in his hands, but I want you to know it's news for you too. It's really good news that God loves you and cares for you. As he's the one that works to pull the strings that makes this world work, he also knows you by name. And he loves you. That is the beginning of the very, very good news. Now, the second thing I want to mention real quick is that there's more to life than just checking boxes and keeping up with the Joneses. More to life than just checking boxes and keeping up with the Joneses. Notice the fellow that he's having the conversation with is Nicodemus. Nicodemus, he starts off saying that he's a Pharisee. If you know much about the Pharisees, they were very religious people. So Nicodemus already was religious. He was a box checker. Matter of fact, the Pharisees were very strict in keeping religious activities. And so he was a box checker. He checked the box according to his traditional religion. He, properly cleaned and washed his food and hands before he ate, check. He paid his religious tax to the temple, I'm sure, check. He stayed away from people that his tradition thought was unclean, check. He showed up at religious festivals and holidays, check. I'm sure Nicodemus was a great box checker. But something happened to this box checker. There was something missing. Something about Jesus that drew Nicodemus to walk across the city in the middle of the night and to ask Jesus. He was probably asking Jesus, is there some other box that I need to check? There's something missing. I've checked all the boxes I know to check, but my life still doesn't feel right. The really good news is that there's more to life than checking boxes. It's hard to check the box of love and freedom and hope and faith and the things that really matter in life. It's more than just going through the motions. It's more than just checking boxes. But there's more to life than just going through box checking. But there's the love of God that he wants you to have life and have it more abundantly. So Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was already a religious person. Second thing is that Nicodemus is also a member of the Jewish ruling council. He was not only a box-checking, high-performing religious person, he was a member of the Jewish ruling council. The dude was somebody. He had street cred. He was smart, evidently. He was smart and well enough known to get a seat on the council. He was powerful enough to make political and religious decisions for his people. He had credentials. Nicodemus had credentials. He was deeply religious, highly religious. I could just see, Jesus, I went to Harvard, but I'm missing something, He had it. He was elected to office. So the guy has street cred. He has the credentials. But it's interesting that he is needing something more. You see, just getting ahead in life, just keeping ahead of the Joneses lifestyle did not satisfy Nicodemus. Not his religious box checking, nor his status that he had already achieved. He asked Jesus, what else am I missing? You see, the really good news is that there is more to life than box checking and keeping up with the Joneses. There is something deeply spiritual about how God made us. Not just to float through life. Not just to check boxes. Not just to, you know, buy cars and houses and make all the money we can. The key to life is finding the hope that we have through Jesus Christ. The third thing I want to say is that there's more to see if you're willing to hear. This is another thing he tells Nicodemus. Did you get that? No, wait, I thought that was funny. Did you get that play on words? Are you awake? You're awake, right? There's more to see. Jesus is telling him there's more to see if you're willing to hear. I thought that was cute. Okay, yeah, I can see you're all not as easily entertained as I am. But notice what Jesus tells him. He comes to Jesus and says, Rabbi, I know that you're a teacher. You've come from God because I see you're performing the signs. And Jesus says this, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again or born from above. And then Nicodemus is like, yep, okay. You know, you can tell he's like, I don't think my mama wants 193 pounds of me trying to be birthed again. Doesn't sound right. So there was this conversation. So there's this interesting exchange here. Nicodemus comes to Jesus and said, I'm already a pretty religious person too, but I see that God is doing something that makes me hungry for more. And Jesus says this, no one can see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. So he's trying to listen to Jesus so that he can see. What Jesus is saying here, now the traditional reading is that if you want to get to heaven, you've got to be born again. And there's something to that, of course that. But Jesus, I think, is asking something even more profound and deeper than this. He's asking Nicodemus to open his eyes to the kingdom of God that was already present. He said, if you don't open your eyes to see, you will not see the kingdom of God. He was asking Nicodemus not to wait until he dies and go to heaven. He was asking him to open his eyes to see that there's more of life around you. The Spirit of God is already operating in the kingdom of God, and allow the Spirit of God to open up your eyes. He's basically was saying, Nicodemus, you're a great box checker, and you've kept up with the Joneses. You've been elected to office, but you're somewhat spiritually blind still. And so if you want to see the kingdom of God, you need to let the Spirit, the wind of the Spirit, open up your eyes, and then you can perceive that there's more to life than what you've been seeing. There's more to life than clocking in at work, making a paycheck, buying two cars and a boat, funding your 401ks as you retire nicely. There's nothing necessarily wrong with those things, but there's more to life, and to get that more into life, it takes the Spirit. In a word, he's telling Nicodemus, you've been blind because you can't see, but the Spirit now is blowing around you so that if you listen to the Spirit, he will open your eyes so that you can see that the kingdom of God is active and around you. You see, it's interesting that Jesus kind of turns it around. A lot of times people think, if I see something, then I'm going to open my mind and believe it. Jesus is turning around, and Jesus is saying, open your mind and heart first to the Spirit, and then you'll be able to see properly. Some people see the same things, and one's open to the Spirit and understands it, another person doesn't. It's because Jesus reverses it. Many times we have to open up our hearts in faith, and then we begin to see what's already there. We begin to see the love of God and the kingdom of God. And many times we, in our Western world, we like to think of proof. We want proof for everything. And then we believe. Jesus is saying, no, open up your eyes to see, and then you can believe better. You can see better once you've opened up your heart. That's what he's telling Nicodemus. There's more to see to life if you're willing to hear and let the Spirit of God pry open your heart to receive faith. The last thing I'm going to say about this story is that there is a new beginning waiting for you if you're willing to start again. Verse 4, he says, Nicodemus is like, how could somebody be born when they're old? Surely you can't back in your mother's womb to be born again. And he says that flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You need to be born again, born from above. What Jesus is telling Nicodemus is that Nicodemus, you were born the first time. You know what it's like to live. You know what it's like to be a box checker. You know what it's like to be an elected official. You've got all the credentials. You've done all the things that you know to do. But now it's time to start back like a toddler and learn what life is really about. Learn about the depth of God's love. Learn about the depths of forgiveness. Learn about the depth of hope and faith that can make things new and fresh. For many of us, that is really good news. For all of us, it's really good news. Many of us might look at your life and go, man, I've messed up so many times. And this just floods over you like, what? I can start again? I can do some new things with my life? You mean I don't have to set in the pattern that I've been set in? I don't have to, you know, do the old habits that I've been doing? You mean I can have a fresh start? You mean I can have forgiveness? You mean I can have the strength to say no to temptation, to live the kind of the way that I know I ought to live? You mean I can be born again? You mean I can get a fresh slate? You mean I can... That's the really good news for you, is that not only does Jesus want to open up your heart and mind so that you can see the greatness of all that God has for you, but he's willing to put all that past, that stuff behind you so that you can start fresh and that you can get a fresh start. You can find purpose and you can find meaning and you can find your direction. You can find the confidence that you have in Jesus Christ because he has a new beginning that's waiting for you if you're willing to start again. This, my friends, is the really good news. Really, really, really good news. We're going to watch a video just now that just talks a little bit about no matter where you know you're from, where you're at in your walk of life, to just give us a moment to celebrate that Jesus Christ makes all things new. Let's watch the video.
So things haven't turned out as you hoped. Life took a turn.
A bump. A darkened sky. And at times it may have seemed there was no hope. But here's the good news. Our God is the God of fresh starts. Our God is the God of new beginnings. Our God brings new mercies, new compassions, not just once a year, not just when things are bad, but every single morning. This season has been tough. And for many of us, things will never be the same. But we are here, breathing, maybe smiling, or crying, or shouting, or laughing. But we are here, feeling, maybe fighting, or cheering, or seeking, or grieving, but we are here, living. And we are not alone. Our God is here. Our God is with us. And our God is the God of new creations.
As we close today, the video opened. It said, so things haven't turned out as you hoped. Life took a turn, a bump, a darkened sky. And at times it may seem that there's no hope, but here's the good news. Our God is a God of fresh starts, and our God is the God of new beginnings. And behold, I can make all things new. I pray that you found that today. And maybe if you haven't, that this may be the moment that because I'm sure all of us can testify to that bump in the road or that turn that life took that can knock you off course. So I pray that if maybe you're like Nicodemus, maybe you've checked some boxes and you've got some street cred, but maybe there's something missing down in your heart and life, you'll know that God makes all things new for you. Let's pray. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we live in this crazy world where we celebrate your goodness and your life. But we also know that we come as broken people. We all have our own stuff. We have our own hurt. We have our own burdens. We have our own stresses. And a lot of times we let those bumps in the road knock us off course to where we don't get the best out of life that God designed for us. And so I pray, Lord, that you would, as we sit here just for a moment, that just like Nicodemus would say, Jesus, what do we need to do? And Jesus says, you need to just start over. Start from the beginning. Start with a little bit of faith. Start with a little bit of hope. Start with understanding that I came to give my life for you so that you could feel God's love. Start there. Put your past behind you and look forward to the life and the love that God's going to give you. And so I pray you pour that over us today. And if there's someone here that has not made that decision to just step into the love of God through Jesus Christ, that today would be the day that they find hope and that they find love. And that this will be really, really, really good news for them. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord.